Welcome to Side Podcast, episode 33, Italy GP. There's lots more stuff going on with the espionage thing, and McLaren are forever in the press.
There must be someone else to talk about.
We'll report you what we know, but to be honest, there's no point going too far into it because everything is going to change by next week anyway.
Well, by Thursday, in fact.
Yep.
All change.
The new evidence the FIA have is emails between Fernando Alonso and Pedro de la Rosa. Not sure if there's anything interesting in them, but why would you send that stuff by email? Why would you do that?
What, if you had some kind of secret information?
Stuff that, you know, would get you into big trouble.
Not the kind of thing you want to be distributing via some kind of traceable electronic communication, is it?
Not really.
Not too smart.
Also, if Pedro has this information, how far has the information gone, spread through the company?
Because he's a test driver.
Test drivers don't know anything.
What, they don't need to know anything. That's the thing, generally. Essentially, they just need to know how to set the car up, what's been changed and why it's been changed, but they don't need to know the details of how a rival car may be set up. But if he's got it, and we should say that we don't know that he does, but if he has, you'd have to say that the information is probably pretty endemic in the whole team.
The body language still looks okay between Pedro and his team, but you just can't tell what's going on with these people anymore.
Are you suggesting it's being put on?
No, not necessarily. Okay. I'm just saying you can't tell.
There's a lot of hugging going on between the team bosses and Mr. De La Rosa.
Don't believe what you see.
Okay.
The FIA have guaranteed immunity to anyone divulging information. Should the team go down, Alonso should be fine.
Well, that's a lot of shoulds. Potentially, if McLaren are found guilty this Thursday, then the team could be excluded, as could the drivers, except for Alonso, who's got immunity. So it could affect Hamilton, although it does seem very unlikely that would happen.
Seems a bit unfair. If you get immunity because you know something and Hamilton doesn't know anything, that's not fair.
That would be really mean.
McLaren are talking like they're not going to be on the grid next race.
A couple of times they've said that, haven't they? Like, you know, we may not even be here next week, whatever.
They do have the right to appeal, though.
And they almost certainly will use it, which means this is actually going to continue until the end of the season and beyond. We may not know who the world champion is until after all the races are finished.
There's also some new evidence from Italian authorities that SMS messages were exchanged between Mike and Nigel.
Again.
During a number of race weekends.
Again, electronic communications.
Why would you do that?
No, no. But if that's true, during race weekends, that would put a whole different spin on something.
Yeah.
You know, Ferrari a bit quicker, what should we do? What have they changed? That kind of thing. I mean, Nigel was back in the factory, but he would have known, you know, the setup changes. He'd get data back from the track, so he'd know an awful lot about Ferrari. That could be very, very serious if that's true.
I think the biggest problem is that there are so many old people in Formula One.
Not that there's anything wrong with old people.
No. But
wise.
I mean, they've all got like old scores to
experience.
Settle. Yeah, but they all hate each other and they've all got these differences and old...
Long-running feuds.
Exactly. We need new people.
Younger team principals.
Yeah.
Yes. I'd go so far to say the same about journalists, actually, because they have old scores to settle, you know, team bosses they don't like. So what you really want is out with all of the old and in with some new, younger people. That's what you need. That'll freshen it up. Nobody's fallen out with Christian Horner yet, have they?
No. He's brand new. We love him.
Exactly. That's what we need. More Horner.
McLaren were fined $50,000 for a new lightweight gearbox.
It's not their week, is it?
No, them again. They ran it, but it hadn't been crash tested.
They ran it in Hungary. In the weekend, it was, you know, not the best weekend of their year. And they decided to run an illegal gearbox. But they got away with it, actually, with just, you know, a £50,000 fine is really getting away with it. Because Spyker failed their crash test for a very similar problem, rear crash structure. And they weren't allowed to run their car at all. So McLaren ran it for a race. And only incurred a fine.
McLaren did pass first time though, so it was safe.
That's no excuse though. They've been doing this long enough to know that if they make a major change to any of their components, it needs to go through the correct processes via the FIA, and they chose not to do that. It could have been an oversight. They were having a bit of a stressful weekend, but still, they should know better.
Qualifying might be changing next year.
Well, good. What's
up now? People are not interested in the fuel burn laps.
Okay.
A proposal has been sent to the World Council for a meeting in October, for Q3 to be shortened, so the fuel burning laps removed, basically.
And this actually has a majority vote from all of the teams.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. That actually might happen.
And the Japanese Grand Prix is going to alternate between Fuji and Suzuka.
That's good.
Which puts pay to our theory about there being a Pacific GP.
You have to imagine that Bernie didn't think he could sell out two Japanese Grand Prix on the strength of only Takuma Sato. And so therefore...
Sarto's good, but he's not that good.
Well, he is popular, but I guess it's a small country. And, you know, even though one Grand Prix is at each end of the country, it's probably still a bit too close for comfort. So what you're going to end up with is 2007 Fuji, 2008 Fuji. And then they start alternating. So you've got 2009 Suzuka, 2010 Fuji. So that's pretty good. Great to see Suzuka back on the calendar.
So free practice one then. There was no rain this weekend after all those downpours at testing. And it was quite a quiet session because they got all the information they needed in testing. The crowd appear to have taken to Kimi Raikkonen.
Lots and lots of banners, lots spreading lots of love for Kimi and lots of cheering whenever he came out of the garages, and not so much for Massa.
Alonso missed much of the session because of a misfire during his first few laps. He joined in the final half. And Button made it into the top six fastest. Woohoo!
Wow.
The top three were Raikkonen, Massa and Hamilton. In free practice two, Raikkonen had to sit out the session with hydraulic problems. He only managed five laps before the problem and seven laps after. Massa had a spin and Alonso had to use the new runoff area to avoid him. And there was a red flag to retrieve Davidson, who had clutch problems.
Yeah, he unfortunately parked his car under the tree, so the team couldn't get any data back on what caused the problem, and they had no idea if it was going to happen to Sato, but it turned out to be just specific to that car, which they discovered when they got it back to the garages.
The fastest three were Alonso, Hamilton and Fisichella. In free practice three, Raikkonen had a humongous crash.
Huge.
It was so fast, 200 miles an hour, straight into the tyres.
It looked horrific, didn't it, on the replays, on the onboard camera?
Yep.
Although he kind of went under the tyre barrier a bit, so they kind of fell on his head.
He did get out okay. He was generally fine. He went back to the garage. There was a 21-minute delay before the session was resumed.
Yep.
And we're not sure what caused the crash.
No. Lots of speculation. The team are claiming he hit a bump.
Driver error.
Seems unlikely that he hit a bump, as no one else did it at all during testing or the free practice or at any other point during the weekend.
The two McLaren drivers nearly made contact on their outlap, which would have pleased Ron no end, but they managed to avoid that. And there was a slight modification to the modification of the second chicane.
What have they changed?
They've put in a bit of extra curbing to stop drivers cutting the corner excessively.
Right.
The fastest three in free practice three were Alonso, Hamilton and Massa. In quali one, the revised Spyker was out on track first, and it does look a bit faster, but really not enough. They reckon they're aiming to beat the Toro Rossos. But Yamamoto bust up his brand new car. So the nose cone came off.
It didn't last very long, did it?
No, he had to go back to the pits.
And he nearly took out a photographer who was, in fairness, probably standing where he shouldn't have been standing and was saved by the quick-thinking marshal stood next to him who managed to drag him out of the way.
You're not going to beat any Toro Rossos doing that, though, are you?
It's not going to help.
And Sato spun off as well, so he was another person making good use of the new runoff area. Michael Schumacher was on the pit wall.
He said he wasn't coming back.
He promised us he wasn't going to come back, and there he was.
I think he might have been drafted in by Jean Todt, who is slightly under pressure by his boss, Luca de Montezemolo, who would like to make some changes, or is trying to make some changes within the team. And I think Schumacher's been drafted in as like an emergency support group.
Raikkonen took to the T car. And he did a fast lap, but then he kept on going and going, so presumably he wanted a bit of practice.
Yeah, he kind of wrecked his race car, didn't he? Lots of damage, they couldn't repair it in time. They changed the engine, they swapped the engine, rather, from his broken car to his T car, so there was no penalty imposed. But they had no time to set it up or do anything with it.
Coulthard spun off right near the end of the session. He had gearbox issues.
More gearbox issues. Mm-hmm. I think that team are going to struggle next year.
Really?
Well, a gearbox is supposed to last four races.
Right.
These don't last one qualifying session.
Christian Horner has said that they're going to have to focus on reliability next year. No kidding.
Yeah, I think probably what they're going to have to do is just switch off the seamless shift until they can get reliability back.
Go back to something that works.
Yeah, it's bringing them half a second a lap, but it's just not, they're not getting around the track, are they? So it's not helping them at all.
Their fastest three were Alonso, Hamilton and Massa. And out were Sato, Schumacher, Liuzzi, Coulthard, Soutil and Yamamoto. In quali 2, apparently Honda was saying that Barrichello was significantly faster than Button. Barrichello got up to 9th but was slowly knocked down when other people went faster. Button, however, he actually made it into the top 10 and it stuck.
He did what?
He made it into the top 10.
That's pretty good going.
First time this season.
Right.
He was 10th in Monaco, but that was because Coulthard got kicked out.
Oh, he did, yep.
So it's the first time he's legitimately made it into the top 10.
Wow.
Davidson, again, he almost made it, had us all on the edge of our seats, but he actually couldn't get higher than 11th.
I think it's worth mentioning that maybe Super Aguri could run Davidson a little bit closer to the checkered flag, because he crossed that line with at least 30 seconds left to go. And he might have found that the track, you know, a couple of cars later, he might have found there was a bit more rubber on the track. And I think they've been a little bit too cautious with him.
Sending him out too early.
Yeah, if he just left it a little bit later, he might have found a tiny bit more speed and thus made it into the top 10.
Barrichello was going for one final lap, but he went off track and then he came back on right in Fisichella's way.
He did.
Afterwards, Fisichella was pretty angry about it, saying Barrichello shouldn't have come back on track, having already completed a flying lap. Barrichello, in reply, said, "What did he want me to do? Carry on in the gravel trap? He should be experienced enough to shut up." Which I think about Fisichella most days.
Right. I'm going to defend Fisichella slightly here, because Barrichello didn't have to come back on the track at that angle.
No.
He could have kind of slowed down. His lap was ruined. He wasn't going to get any time back. And he probably should have been penalised and wasn't.
The fastest three were Alonso, Hamilton and Massa again. And out were Webber, Barrichello, Wirtz, Davidson, Fisichella and Vettel. In the third session, Hamilton was at the head of the queue and he also pitted first, swiftly followed by Massa. Hamilton's brakes were smoking while he was in the pit box.
They were really hot.
Button ran out of soft tyres. Presumably he didn't expect to get into the third session. So he wasn't really on a par with the rest of the drivers.
It wasn't very fair, but it does occur to me that this car is only good at this track because of the lack of aero. You can basically take all your aero bits off and run the car as fast as it will go. And that's possibly why he's got the advantage he has at this race. We'll have to see if he can kind of continue into Spa. I think he probably won't do, though.
Alonso went way fastest and was doing a second lap. Then he was told that no one had managed to beat him, so he slowed right down. He still had to finish that lap, though, to get the fuel back, but definitely wasn't a flying lap. The final grid positions were Alonso, Hamilton, Massa, Heidfeld, Raikkonen, Kubica, Kovalainen, Rosberg, Trulli and Button.
Again, Trulli did a fantastic job of getting the Toyota where he got it,
mm-hmm.
and Ralph failed to impress, not for the first time.
Apparently the rules have been changed so that drivers now have to do a full speed lap to the grid rather than all that speeding up, slowing down and all the near misses that used to happen.
Yeah, what was happening in the past was all the cars not in the top 10 could put in a bit of extra fuel and go as quick as they liked, knowing that, you know, they weren't wasting anything, while all the cars in the top 10, they would go around as slow as they possibly could in order to conserve as much fuel as possible. Therefore, you had fast cars coming up unexpectedly on slow cars. And so I think it's a very good idea they've done this, because it was quite dangerous. And at some point, someone was going to have an accident, especially at Monza.
Alonso got a good start. Hamilton, he dived towards Massa.
Bit of a Schumacher chop.
Yeah.
Not for the first time this year. I heard some criticisms at the beginning of the year against Hamilton in his starting procedure.
Mm.
And he doesn't seem to have backed off at all from that plan.
Massa managed to overtake him, but then Hamilton went round the outside to try and get it back.
Very good at braking there.
They actually made contact, which pushed Hamilton off the track, and it looked like he'd missed the apex and cut the corner.
Yep.
The stewards were investigating, but they let that incident go because of the contact.
He narrowly missed Alonso, who was coming around the chicane correctly, and he kind of, as he jumped over the chicane, nearly took off his front wing.
Vettel went into the back of Davidson, knocked off his own front wing, and he had to go into the pits at the end of the lap. But it wasn't so bad because David Coulthard crashed and a safety car came out.
Big crash.
Yeah, he had made up 5 places on the first lap and then he headed straight off the track at the Curva Grande. Big crash, but he got out okay.
Actually, it was one of the corners that they haven't retarmacked at the request of David and his GPDA Safety Association. So I'm sure next year he'll be campaigning to have that tarmacked pretty soon, because it would have slowed him down, I think, rather than the gravel, which he just skipped over and went straight into the wall. He's probably not going to be too happy about that.
They called the safety car, which came out in the middle of the pack, so the front runners were allowed back through to the front. I don't know. I'm still confused about this whole safety car thing.
What happened was they called the safety car out really late. I think they were kind of indecisive whether or not they could clear David's car under yellow flags. And they made the call really late. And by the time Bernard, with his yellow light, got to the end of the pit lane, he'd missed the first couple of cars. And so he kind of joined in the middle of the pack and he couldn't keep up with them. So they had to call him back, rein him back in and let the safety car join the front of the queue again.
There was a lot of cutting corners and skipping chicanes and things this race. We heard Trulli on team radio asking for something to be checked with Charlie, and apparently that was Wirtz cutting the chicane and getting in front of him. Trulli is also complaining that the start system isn't very good and he's losing places every single race off the start.
That sounds about right, yep.
His team principal has also backed him up on that though, so they'll be looking into it for next race, so he's not just complaining.
As if he would.
Fisichella also cut a corner to save losing his place to Davidson, but Davidson managed to speed past him over the start-finish line.
Because Fisichella made a mistake, didn't he?
Davidson's fast, that's what it was.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yes. I thought Fisichella wrong-footed himself and then Davidson was allowed past.
Massa pitted on lap 9, which was unscheduled, but he didn't make it very far around his outlap before slowing right down. He started cutting corners, couldn't be bothered to turn the steering wheel because he knew he was going straight in the pits and retiring.
Yeah, at first, yeah, I think he thought he had a puncture, so he came in and changed the tyres. And when he came back out, it hadn't solved the issue. And it turned out to be a rear suspension issue, which unfortunately ended his race.
Hamilton came into the pits before Alonso. He had to brake really, really hard to slow down in time for the pit lane speed limit line. There was all this smoke on his tyres, but it didn't really matter because he was about to get rid of them. Alonso came in next and he took on a huge amount of fuel, but he came out ahead of Hamilton.
Yeah, he did a really quick couple of laps whilst Hamilton was in the pits, and so he stretched his lead enough to take on more fuel and still come out in front.
Rosberg was chasing Button. He cut a corner and got in front, then he had to give it back. And they kept on fighting for a few laps.
It was actually probably the best bit of the race, most exciting bit of the race, really, those two.
Button was so good, but his car just isn't fast enough. He didn't have the speed to keep it up. To be fair, they both drove really well, Button being defensive and Rosberg overtaking him magnificently.
That's very magnanimous of you to say that someone else was better than Jenson Button there.
I didn't say better.
Okay.
I said they were both very good.
Right, and Rosberg was in a faster car.
Exactly.
Okay. No, I thought it was very enjoyable to watch the two of them, and it was good to see Button in a competitive environment again. It was actually shown on the cameras because obviously he did well in Turkey and overtook loads of people in Turkey, but we didn't get to see much of it. So it was nice to see it this time.
Kubica came into the pits and they had major jack problems. The car was tilting one way or the other. They couldn't get the tyres on, then the front jack wouldn't come out, and the guy basically just yanked at it until it came out, which didn't seem that sensible to me. He came out in 11th, so his race was pretty ruined, but afterwards he said it was his own fault.
Yeah, didn't he come in a bit wonky?
He said he didn't arrive straight, whatever that means.
Yeah, so when the jackman went to put it in his usual position, it kind of missed the connecting points that it was going for. And so it kind of slipped off. So Kubica put his hand up and said, yeah, it was my issue. It didn't seem to have, I wouldn't say it ruined his race, though. I mean, it put him back a little bit, but it wasn't the end of the world. It was just a bit of an unnecessary delay caused by himself.
Raikkonen pitted, and he came out behind both McLarens, but he was one-stopping. So there was a mixture of strategies I had to try and understand.
Right, yes. You're learning, this late in the season.
Fisichella got his place back from Davidson on the straight, so it may be that Fisichella had made a mistake the first time and let Davidson through. Whatever.
Fisichella actually had the faster car and it was pretty much easy pickings for him, and Davidson was lucky to have overtaken him in the first place.
Lots of people were going really, really long. Both Hondas, Wurz, Davidson, Sato, they all were out on track for ages before they came into the pits. Wurz was actually the last man to dive into the pits for the first time, if that makes sense.
Well, the thing is, a one-stop strategy is the best way around Monza. And the new tyre rules tend to make one stops less favourable, but because the difference between the two at this track was negligible, actually you could get away with a one stopper, which is what the majority of the field did.
Hamilton went in for his second pit stop and he actually came out behind Raikkonen, and it was very exciting, but only for one lap because he recklessly overtook him. And when I say reckless, I mean stunning.
Yeah, that was a pretty good overtaking manoeuvre from a long way back. Took Kimi by surprise.
Yeah, he wasn't looking, was he?
He managed to outbrake himself and they both blocked their front tyres. There was smoke coming out of them from all over the place. But Hamilton made it stick and it was a very good overtaking manoeuvre.
And then Kubica did the same thing on Rosberg, but he did it on the outside. Yes. And there wasn't quite so much smoke that time. Alonso went in for his final pit stop and he remained in the lead.
Yeah, it wasn't very difficult, that one. He pulled out enough of a gap that it wasn't too much of a problem.
The final points positions were Alonso, Hamilton, Raikkonen, Heidfeld, Kubica, Rosberg, Kovalainen and Button! Yay! The Drivers' Championship has Hamilton on 92, Alonso on 89, Raikkonen on 74, Massa on 69 and Heidfeld on 52. And the Constructors has McLaren on 166, Ferrari on 143, BMW on 86, Renault on 38 and Williams on 25. It was pretty obvious that Raikkonen wasn't pushing that hard towards the end of the race. Martin Brundle said he wondered if Ferrari had radioed him to stay off the curbs and be careful around the corners. But in the press conference afterwards, he said he was struggling with his neck after the free practice accident.
That kind of makes sense. It was a big crash, and I guess you'd expect to have some repercussions from that. Monza's not that tough on the neck, though. I'm surprised that it affected him as badly as it did.
There's two new graphics on the world feed.
There are.
Championship predictions.
Very good.
Which basically takes where the drivers are at that point and what that will do to the championship.
Which is quite useful because it saves us trying to work it out in our heads.
Yes. And also a brake bias one, which obviously I didn't understand.
I liked it, actually. It gives you some indication on which drivers are running more bias towards the front or versus more towards the back. It doesn't really matter what it means when you're watching the TV, only that you can see which drivers are doing what at the time. It's quite interesting, I find. Oh, I'm probably the only one, actually. More information, though. Always useful.
Oh, and there was a good bit when James Allen said he'd been doing some research with Brembo brakes and he'd found out this stuff about one of the corners.
Right.
But we know from our inside information and the fact that we get the very same PDF that he was just reading out what was on this piece of paper.
Right, yeah. So he's trying to take credit for going out and doing a whole load of research when really he just opened his inbox and went, ah, that's interesting. Yes. Bless him. I mean, most of the people listening will obviously believe every word he says. We know different though.
It's funny because when they were talking to Ron before the race, I said he always sounds like he's about to cry because his voice sort of breaks sometimes and he pauses.
Bit emotional.
He pauses quite a lot. And then apparently after the race, he did start to cry.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Imagine the week kind of got on top of him. So I think I'd have done the same in his place. I'd probably done it a lot earlier, actually, if it was me. But you have to say none of the drivers really looked that emotional, did they, on the podium?
They all looked miserable.
Well,
I mean... Raikkonen was probably annoyed that he gave the place back to Hamilton.
Yeah.
And Hamilton was probably annoyed that he didn't win.
Yeah.
And Alonso was just annoyed generally with the whole team.
Generally in a bad mood with everybody. So none of them really wanted to be up there. None of them were happy where they were, which is a bit of a shame. You don't really want to be seeing that when you want some celebrations on the podium.
Is it fair to say that Massa's championship is over now? I mean, we've said it a few times before.
Right.
But it looks like, he's dropping behind Raikkonen now, and
it's gonna have to take some kind of major pile up or some really bad weather. Actually, it's not even bad weather, it's not gonna save Massa, is it? I was gonna say if it rains at Spa, he might be in with some luck, but no,
he's
the first one to go out. I think it's probably over. Ferrari will probably put their weight behind Kimi, and he'll be forced into a supporting role.
It's a bit of a shame because I like the idea of four people fighting it out, but I suppose it had to narrow down eventually.
It can't go on like that forever, can it? Eventually some kind of failure or breakdown or something was going to upset the balance, and it happened to Massa, unfortunately.
Considering Fisichella is sort of fighting for a seat, he hasn't been finishing in the points, has he?
I don't know if he's fighting for a seat at all. I think he's lost it, hasn't he?
He hasn't finished in the points since Britain.
Wow.
Since Silverstone.
That's ages. Kovalainen is 4 points ahead of him now. I don't know. I really don't think he's fine for a seat. I think Flav's already decided he doesn't want him and he's going to hold out for Alonso, and if he doesn't get Alonso, he'll pick someone else. Just my opinion. Just a hunch.
Sato said he had a problem with the brakes before he even got to the grid. he said...
It's not a great circuit to have problems with your brakes in, is it? It's a bit like Canada. You kind of need good braking in your car to have confidence to get around some of those chicanes.
He said, I tried to warm up the car on the formation lap and then the front brake caught fire. When I got back to the grid, there was a lot of smoke, which I was really worried about. Well, you would be.
Yeah, absolutely. you haven't even gone around one single lap and you haven't started in anger. In that case, he did quite well to finish at all, didn't he? Generally, he's a driver who wears his brakes out a lot more than most, and maybe he did some damage in qualifying or something. It's a miracle that he even got to the end of the race.
Everyone knows I am biased towards Button, but I think he did.
I hadn't noticed.
I think he did really well
right.
this race.
Yes, he did.
I mean, obviously, his car was faster because of the aero thing.
Yes,
but he still, it just shows off how good a driver he actually is.
It's a second point of the year, which isn't a great tally to have to your name
with that car, though. It kind of is.
I did notice that during the safety car he seemed to have more confidence in the car. Remember last year he came into some criticism for not being able to warm up the tyres and fleeing the car around as much as other drivers were.
On the restarts, he was rubbish.
Yeah, because in his argument was he couldn't fling the car around because it would just spin. He had no confidence in the ability to chuck it left and right. And this time I could see him, he actually had more confidence in it. He could get those tyres up to temperature and he didn't lose a place at the safety car restart. So I think that much has improved in the Honda car.
Are we making progress? I wouldn't go that far.
That's maybe a step too far, but it's just something. Yeah, it's something I did notice that maybe they might be getting on top of some of their issues, and let's see what the rest of the year brings. And keep our fingers crossed for 2008.
Next week is the Belgian Grand Prix, the 16th of September at Spa. The track is 4.333 miles long, which will be 44 laps, and the previous three winners were Kimi Raikkonen, and Michael Schumacher.
Good to see Spa back on the calendar.
Definitely.
makes a welcome return this year after a year off due to money troubles.
Mm-hmm.
Scene of probably the best overtaking manoeuvre in Formula One ever, when on a wet track, Mika Hakkinen passed both Zonta and Schumacher on the straight, scaring the Jesus out of Zonta, who was kind of sitting in the middle, as Schumacher went one way and Mika Hakkinen went the other. So let's hope we have some more spectacular overtaking manoeuvres at this race. I'm not going to bet on it, though.
On previous form, it looks like this is a good track for Kimi Raikkonen. I mean, you never can tell, but it would be good for his championship hopes.
It should be good for the Ferrari car with its longer wheelbase. And if the team are four bananas behind Kimi, and if he can get up front and maybe put Massa between him and the McLarens, we could extend the championship fight a bit farther. So, yeah, with any luck, it could go his way.
Four bananas.
Four bananas behind Ferrari.
Right, understood.
What are you saying?
Did you see our video this week?
I might have caught it. Yeah, high definition, wouldn't it?
It was very sharp.
Yes, almost cinema-esque. It doesn't fit on my screen, rather embarrassingly.
Bigger screen required.
Yeah, it's that large. I don't know if there's much call for HD. I don't know if there's much interest. But I think it's one of our most popular videos so far. So I don't know if that tells us anything, but hopefully we can do more HD shows in the future.
It might just tell you that people are sick of the McLaren thing.
Right.
And like the fact that there is other stuff going on.
Yeah, and probably we're going to end up doing a special show next week following on from the court case, do you think?
Well, I think that's good, because then if people are interested,
they can listen to it.
And if they're not interested, don't listen to that and just tune in for the race.
And we won't ruin the Belgian Grand Prix show with loads of talk of legal gumph.
It's a good plan.
So probably watch over that Thursday or maybe Friday, depending on when we manage to fit it in.